You know when you're wrapping up a long day and that what's-for-dinner panic hits? Well, when you've got convenient everyday protein from Omaha Steaks waiting at home, that panic turns into your weeknight win. And now's the time to buy during Omaha Steaks Spring Savings Event. Save big on their exclusive lineup of mouthwatering steaks, gourmet burgers, air-chilled chicken, pork, seafood, and more, all delivered right to your door. Plus, get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today. With over 100 years of unrivaled quality and variety, Omaha Steaks understands what you need to get dinner done. Plus, every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Omaha Steaks is your weeknight win, so get the world's best everyday protein during their spring savings event. Go to OmahaSteaks.com for an extra $35 off when you use promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We have Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas in All Things America. Marion, if Donald Trump says there are negotiations going on with Iran to end the war that he and Israel has waged against Iran, can we believe him?
Well, apparently we can't. And I think that this is another twist and turn in the most bizarre, and I use bizarre charitably, prosecution of a war that I think anybody could imagine, because he basically came out. And now, I mean, there are so many aspects to this, including possible market manipulation. But he posted on, having said that he was giving Iran 48 hours, basically one of his many, many deadlines to do what he wanted, or else he was going to start attacking their civilian grid. He then said he was having a basically, because they had talked, there were talks going on, they were so productive, he was putting a 5-day moratorium on that targeting. And he then was asked about this, and he said that he had spoken, that they had called him. That was one of the things he said, that they called us, by the way, we didn't call them. And then he claimed that he had spoken to a respected Iranian leader who wants to make a deal. He wouldn't say who the leader was, a bit like the American president who told me he wished he had done it, I suspect. And then he was pressed on that, and then he made a number of very, very bizarre claims. And it just seems that, as I say, that really the left hand in America at the moment doesn't know the right hand's doing. And he also said he was afraid to name the leader because he might be killed, which would suggest that he could not control his ally Israel, because the implication was clearly that if I tell you who this important, respected person is, the Israelis are going to kill him. So it's just astonishing.
Cal Thomas, do you have any confidence in Donald Trump telling the truth about where he's at with trying to get this resolved?
Well, first I had to laugh when he said a respected Iranian leader. I mean, what in the world does that mean? I thought we killed most of the Iranian leaders, respected or not. You can't trust anything that they say. They have violated every agreement they've ever made. As mentioned before on this program, they believe, the leadership does anyway, that they have a religious mandate for doing what they're doing, including creating a nuclear bomb to usher in their view of who the Messiah is. So that's one thing. The other thing is that Trump has been all over the place on this, and I think he just ought to keep his mouth shut. Of course, that's probably an impossibility, unless he's playing some kind of rope-a-dope game with the Iranians to keep them off their steps. But no, I don't think you can believe anything they say, and no, I don't think any agreement made with what's left of the current regime is going to be enforced or agreed to by them.
Pete Hegseth has claimed a religious mandate as well, hasn't he? And you also have people like Lindsey Graham doing it as well. Yeah. Christian prayer for the American troops. Does that not worry you, Cal?
No, it doesn't worry me. I just think it's stupid. I think, God's will is clearly set out in the scriptures that he caused to be written down by human beings for our benefit and salvation. And I think for people to equate, and I've said this on both for Democrats when they've done it and Republicans who more often do it, unfortunately, I think that is a kind of blasphemy and incorrect. I think people ought to let public policy stand or fall on its merits and leave the God question out of it.
Indeed, the Pope, who is American, has been very critical of Hegseth for claiming that he's doing God's work.
Right, and I think he's right on that. I think God's work is not involved in the Department of Defense or taxes or missiles or other things. I just think this is something that is bad theology, bad politics, and bad for the country to believe that only God is only on the side of Republicans mostly or of certain policies. I think that is not only a form of blasphemy, but I think it's completely and totally incorrect.
Okay, Marian, how does Donald Trump get out of this? Because it seems like he has boxed himself into a corner.
You know, I really don't know, because the Iranians are claiming, just following up on that, that the reports of talks are fake news. Now, there have been reports that Egypt and Turkey have been talking to Iran and that there are intermediaries. So, that, you know, there may be, while he may not have, the Iranians may not have phoned up Trump, or Trump may not have spoken to any respected person, there may be something going on at a third party level. There are talks about maybe talks taking place in Pakistan, but Trump has changed the goalposts. For starters, why would the Iranians trust him, notwithstanding that they are an appalling regime? But they were adhering to the nuclear trade deal that Obama, the nuclear deal that Obama and the other countries agreed on. They were adhering to that when Trump walked out of it in 2018 and then re-escalated things. Last year, he was in talks with them last June when he decided to bomb them. And he was in talks with them again on February when he bombed them again. So what is the point from the Iranian perspective of any talks, but also from Trump's perspective, what is he going to achieve? Because he said initially, we won't settle for anything short of absolute unconditional surrender. Then he said that he wants to get all of the, make sure they can never build a nuclear bomb again. Now, to do that would require US forces to go into Iran to drill down under the rubble from last year, if they're even in those sites, are located, if they're not in those sites, about 450 kilograms of highly unstable, highly dangerous enhanced uranium. It is a dreadful nightmare of a mission to ask any American troops to do. So do they just say, okay, you know, we destroyed their navy, we destroyed all their missiles and everything else and their missiles manufacturing capabilities, and now we're going to leave? In which case, what was the point of the war in the first place? And will Israel go along with that, or will Israel just keep fighting? So I don't see, there's talk of J.D. Vance being, you know, taking part in the talks with Kushner and Witkoff, who have been an absolute disaster in the Russian-Ukraine talks and in these talks as well. They don't know what they're doing. They're horribly compromised. So really, I don't know how you end it, because if you do wrap it up now, the Iranians, and then Trump was asked as well, this was extraordinary. He was asked about who would control the Straits of Hormuz. And he said, well, me and whichever of the Ayatollahs basically survives, last Ayatollah standing. I mean, he made it sound like a game show. You know, it's astonishing.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Indeed, Cal, could it be that he will try and claim his success if the Strait of Hormuz is reopened, which only closed because of the fact that America was bombing Iran, but that now success depends on him managing to do some deal with the Iranians, which might give them more money and more control to get it open again?
Yeah, you mean more money like the millions that Obama sent them on a platter in the middle of the night? Look, I think a statement today by the Saudi crown prince was encouraging. Not only did he say that Americans should continue, and Israel by association, continue this war until essentially victory, he also suggested that the Saudis and other Gulf states might get involved as well. And they should. I mean, Iran is the enemy of the entire region, not just Israel. And it would be great to see the Saudis and all of their oil. Maybe they could give us a few thousand barrels of oil for free as part of the payment for the cost of this war, stepping up and doing what is also in their interest, not just in our and Israel's interests.
Except what might happen in the meantime while they try and continue the bombing of Iran is the desalination plants in the Gulf states and the oil terminals and the LNG terminals could all be seriously damaged and disabled. There would be an incredible price to pay for the people living in those areas. Is that a gamble really worth taking to change the regime in Iran?
Well, I think that if you don't change the regime in Iran, if you don't get a secular government in there to completely reform the government, then you're going to have to do this again. You're going to have to come back, and they will. They have great patience. They can wait 5 years, 10 years. They can slowly develop this enriched uranium again if the regime changes. And we're going to have to do this all over again in another decade, perhaps even less. So let's finish the job now. Let's get a secular regime in, like Turkey used to have under Ataturk, which went very well for many decades, and get these crazy religious fanatics out of it and have a secular government, and I think you've solved a lot of the problem.
But Carl, there was absolutely no evidence has been offered to say that Iran was close to having a nuclear weapon or was even anyway going to use it.
Well, of course, Matt, they've said they would. They say they're going to come after Israel and kill Jews and come out after the great Satan. At least other regimes in the past tried to hide this. Hitler, during his military buildup in Germany, tried to hide it in violation of the Versailles Treaty, and he hid it fairly well, along with the deniers in England who didn't want to believe what he was doing. When your enemy says that they're coming after you, when your enemy says they want to destroy you, you'd better believe them, or else the price is going to be very high.
Yeah, but they may not have the nuclear weapons to do so. I just want to clarify the money that was sent back by the Obama regime, our administration, was actually money that Iran had paid to America in the 1970s for guns and armaments that were never delivered. So it was the money returned with interest. It was about $1.5 billion. The oil that Iran has on the high seas at present, which if it manages to sell, because Trump has actually lifted the embargoes, would bring in $14 billion. So that's what Trump's benefit to Iran would be if Iran sells the oil, which it is now allowed to sell. Marion, you wanted to come in there.
Yeah, I want to come in to make precisely that point, that there is such a talking point about these pallets of money, supposedly pallets of cash that were sent as part of the JCPOA nuclear pact agreement. Now, that was exactly as you said, Matt. It was the Shah was buying guns. They paid for them. They never sent the guns because the revolution happened. They kept the money. And then as part of that, they returned that money. That's all it was. It was money that Iran had paid for a deal under the Shah. The deal was never honored. They agreed to give the money back. And that's exactly as you said. Trump has now said, you know what, Iran, sell your oil. This, again, is another astonishing talk about unforeseeable consequences, and that Iran now stands to make $14 billion, which is, what, 10 times the money that Cal is talking about, more than that? Well, I mean, certainly it's much more than that of the $400 million. So Trump is, in fact, enriching them by a factor of 10, 20, 30, more than the Obama administration ever did. But the other point I really wanted to pick up on was Cal's talk, which is really interesting about the secular government. And it would be terrific if there was a secular government waiting in the wings. But the people who I've spoken to, now they are not actively in the US intelligence at the moment, but they're former people. And they say that they have seen no sign of what they call a viable alternative secular government at the moment in Iran, that there just isn't. There is no Nelson Mandela equivalent waiting. There is no even Ahmad Shalabi waiting, for that matter. Although there was an uprising, that apparently it was quite organic, it wasn't very organized, and thousands of people were killed, we know that, and that this regime now is likely to be even more brutal and more oppressive. And that's so it really, there is no secular government ready to step in, is the point.
Okay, I just want to get to a couple of other things in the time that we have. Good, I'm glad he's dead. That's how Donald Trump responded to the announcement of the death of the ex-FBI chief Robert Mueller, the man who led the Trump-Russia investigation. Do you remember the way, Cal, when Charlie Kirk was murdered, anybody who said something like that was cancelled in the United States, threats of criminal prosecution. And here we have a war hero, Robert Mueller, former head of the FBI, and Trump goes on to Truth Social and says, good, I'm glad he's dead.
Well, I was taught by my parents to never speak ill of the dead. Robert Mueller had a distinguished career, an ex-U.S. Marine, as you said, FBI director, a patriot. I think you can criticize his investigation of what was called Russiagate, proved to be a hoax, proved to be phony. But when the man dies, I don't think you have to dump on him like this. There's a great column today in the Wall Street Journal by, I think it's Jerry Swain, about Trump's vulgar and disgusting language. And I have denounced this, no matter whose side it is, whether liberal, conservative, Republican, or Democrat, you don't speak ill of the dead. You can criticize policies, you can look at historical frameworks and all of that, but I think it was disgusting and a disgrace, and I've said so publicly, and I say so again.
Except it's very interesting, Marion, that everybody is now saying that there was no Russian involvement in the 2016 presidential election. It's all
not
a hoax.
The report said. That's not what the report said.
No, it isn't.
The Mueller report. Well, you know what I think actually happened here, Matt and Cal? I think that Trump confused Mueller with Merrick Garland. I really do. Because Mueller had nothing to do with Mar-a-Lago and with the removal of the classified documents, the FBI raid down there. And Scott Bessent, who's getting crazier by the day, the Treasury Secretary, was on Fox News and he was defending Trump, saying this, he meant, if you knew what he'd been through when he saw FBI agents going through his wife's wardrobe, you have to feel sorry for him on this. The two are completely unrelated. Mueller was long retired when Merrick Garland ordered the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. So I actually really think Trump, who is clearly losing it, has mixed the two of them up. But
he's not losing it to the extent, Marion, that he's not able to make money on market manipulation.
Well, there is that $560 million bet on happening, you know, 15 minutes before his post. All this money is bet and all this money is won by oil.
60 million profit, something. Apparently. Probably by the kids.
There need to be investigations. There really need to be, I don't know if there ever
will. But by who? Who'll investigate anymore?
Not by the Department of Justice. And no. There is an organization, there is a body, a commission that is supposed to look into these kinds of things. But nothing's going to happen under Trump, because the people who made this money, if there's an investigation, don't want to go out on a limb wildly. But I'm pretty sure they're probably friends of Trump's rather than Democrats.
All right. I have to leave it there. Marion McKeown, Cal Thomas, thank you.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.